In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Whenever I hear the end portion of today's Gospel, I think of all the mother-in-law jokes that used to be popular, especially on the old sitcoms, you know, like Bewitched and so on. And I remember an old cartoon where Jesus had cured Peter's mother-in-law, Peter is looking at Jesus and said, "Thanks, Jesus. Thanks a lot." But joking aside, one of the things that this shows us is that Peter was a widower, because if his wife had been alive, she would have been the one to wait on the guests. But instead, Peter's mother-in-law did it, which points to the fact that at this time Peter was a widower, his wife had died. So there's your little bit of biblical trivia for today. But the first part of the gospel is one of my favorites, if only because it is so intimately connected to the Mass and to Holy Communion. Because remember, what do we say very closely before we receive Holy Communion? "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." And whenever I hear those words said as they are in the Sacred Scripture rather than in the old translation, I say a little mental prayer of thanks for the new translation, because it is so much better than the one we used to have. If only for the fact that it makes the connection between Sacred Scripture and the liturgy so much clearer, because we're using the very words of the centurion. And these are words of great faith. Remember, the centurion, he's a pagan, but he's what was called a fearer of God, one who fears God. He believed in God, though he hadn't converted. And the reason he probably hadn't converted is if he had converted to Judaism, he would lose his position. He would lose his position as a centurion, because you couldn't be both. It's very complicated. If you're interested in that, sometime I'll explain it to you. And because he is not a Jew, he realizes that having Jesus come into his house would make Jesus ritually impure, according to the thinking of the time. And furthermore, he realizes, because, as I said, he is a man who is under authority. He's got soldiers, and he knows that Jesus has authority. And he knows that Jesus doesn't have to come to his house in order to cure his servant. He can just say it to be done, and it is done. And that is what happens. Notice the humility of the centurion. He realizes that he is not worthy of the gift which he asks, and yet he still asks it. And this is why Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith." And he uses this as the opportunity to let people know that salvation will be open to everybody, not just the children of Israel, but the children of Israel by adoption, which is you and me, which is a very good thing. And so before we receive communion, we recognize that, first of all, we are not worthy to receive communion. Anyone here worthy to receive Holy Communion? Now, you can say that in some sense. You know, if you're not in a state of mortal sin, you can effectively receive communion. But you never say to Jesus, "You owe me. Give me your body. You owe me." You know, it is a free gift, because there's nothing we could ever do to deserve Jesus giving us himself, and yet he does. And he doesn't just come to us. He enters into us, into our very being. You know, communion means more than simply eating and drinking. It means that God himself, body and blood, soul and divinity, enters into our souls so that we may have his life. "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, into the dwelling place of my soul. But only say the word, and my soul, my very being, will be healed. Because it's one of the things that Holy Communion does for us. It gives us eternal life. It heals our very souls. And so it is truly a wonderful thing to say. So remember that centurion next time you say those words. And remember his great humility and his great trust in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.